Jesus, we welcome you to meet with us, or shall I say, we welcome ourselves to meet with you today.
Yes.
You are the host. We are your guests. So would you lead our conversation, Brenna and I, in a way that brings joy to your people, glory to your name, and goodness into the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Brenna, we'll come around to you in a minute, but we just got to start with these words today. As I take the blood and body, I remember your kindness toward me. Love divine and grace unending. This is more than just a remembering. This is love, holy love. Wow, tell me about that.
I mean,
we're not going to bury the lead here, Brenna.
Okay, JV, I thought you were going to whistle. Are you going to give him a little melody? There we go. That's right.
That's it, isn't
really
it?
Good. That's really good whistling.
Man,
that's
there's
impressive.
Just no market for it. But if you ever need it on a record, I'm your guy.
You are my guy. Yes, I mean, that's a song that I wrote with some friends called Presence and Power. And it feels like something that the Lord just gave us, and we are yet to fully understand what it is even that we're singing, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
It's just continuing to teach me. It's that thing you always say, Lord, don't just help me, have me, you know?
Yeah.
And that was my prayer in it. You know, that was my prayer in it. I had had really just not a really deep understanding of communion. I mean, it was something that I practiced growing up in church and obviously knew that it was a sacred thing, but hadn't maybe encountered the Lord personally through it. And so the song is kind of a journey through that over the course of multiple years of the Lord weaving and kind of laying a groundwork for me. And it's yet to be.
Yes. Okay.
You know,
now
finished.
I'm going to push here. This may be out of bounds, but
it's okay.
Would you just like sing that bit, that kind of chorus, if that's what it would be called?
Yeah, sure.
Let's just hear it. I just want people to hear this.
Okay. So as I take the blood and body, I remember your kindness towards me, and love divine, grace unending. Oh, this is more than just a remembering. This is love, holy love. Oh, this is love, holy love.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, I just, that's so refreshing. It's life-giving. It's true. It's powerful.
Thank you.
I just love that. You know, I should probably say what we're doing here today. You know,
I just realized
how often it's just so easy to bury the lead on everything, on life and on podcasts and you do all these preliminary things and make sure everybody knows what you're doing. I'm like, how about let's just do the thing and we'll come back around and touch that. But y'all, this is a wake up call conversation. And we are with Brenna Bullock today. Brenna is a lot of things. We'll talk about some of them today. She's a daughter. She's a wife. She's a worship leader. She's a worshiper, really. And she stands up and worships, and people follow her, so that makes her a worship leader. And she serves at the Woodlands Methodist Church, and they've started a, I don't want to call it a band, it's really more of a move. It's called Bristol House. Yeah. And they are writing fresh songs for the body of Christ today. And they're also, what I love about them, and you'll know this about me if you follow the Wake Up Call, is I love all the songs. I love the new songs, I love the old songs. And this is what I think Bristol House does so well, is they don't blend them, they weave them. They do a weaving of old and the new, and it's tapestry-like. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a new record that they've put out called Presence and Power, and we'll tell you where you can get it and listen to it. But even before we get, you know, into that, we've already gotten into it. We've given you, like, the special sauce already.
And your whistling is what it was, really. Yeah, that was the sauce.
But I just, Brenna, just kind of give us a little backstory on you.
Sure.
Who are you? Where are you from? Where did you come from?
Good question. I am the youngest of five children born in the Houston area in Texas. Grew up in a beautiful family, a loving home, a believing home, which was a huge gift, and encountered the Lord in a really tangible way, as a young girl. I had been really, really ill, actually, and had this encounter with Jesus when I was about 14 that changed my whole life. And I think, you know, I've talked to many like you, JD, and other kind of heroes of the faith in my eyes that have said, you know, seasons of crushing and dependence and lament and suffering, all those things that eventually you can kind of look back in hindsight and you can be grateful for what that has produced. And I think I'm starting to see some of that now in my mid-30s, seeing how all the ways of my childhood and the things that I endured as a small person really began to weave my heart to Jesus and connect me to him in such a formative way. And so I was a normal kid, you know, loved to play sports, loved to be in school, that kind of thing. Started singing around, I mean, from being tiny, but really started like singing in church when I was in middle school. And right after I'd had that kind of radical encounter with Jesus, and then just felt such a call to, as you said, to worship him. And I didn't expect that to be a vocational thing. The Lord has invited me into that as the years unfolded, but I can see in hindsight now just where he was in all of it. And so grew up, got married. I have a wonderful husband, Ben. We've been together almost 14 years, been married almost 14 years. And we have a dog named Texas. He's great. And I have the privilege of serving, like you said, at the Woodlands Methodist Church as a worship leader and kind of overseeing some of our contemporary worship. And then Bristol House, which, you know, you've been a part of, JD, in some, you know, respects for many, many years. And you've seen kind of the iterations of this. And I loved what you said, that it's not a, we're not really a band, because there are way better musicians and songwriters and singers than we are, but we do want to be faithful to the Lord and live a life of holiness And we hope that our songs can connect our heritage, our Wesleyan heritage, into the fabric of worship culture today. Because yep. I see that some of that's missing, and you've taught me so much about that. When you kind of, in one of our many conversations, unpacked the idea of hymns being cardio for the soul, I was like, yeah. And I had no grid for that. I mean, I grew up just in a bit more of a charismatic expression, you know, where people were kind of singing that style. And as I've started to like read through the hymns, I'm just getting my world rocked. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit of me.
That's good. So, Brenna, yeah. I just want to reach back just for a second here.
Yeah.
You talked about your experience as a girl, mm-hmm. and the hardness and the difficulty and the challenge of that. I want you to imagine right now that you're talking to some middle school and high school, maybe young college girls.
Yeah.
And just like, what would you say back to yourself in a way that you're saying to them right now? Mm-hmm. And they're, because a lot of them are going through hard things.
Sure.
Give, just speak a word to them.
Hmm. Yeah. I think I would say, Jesus is, he's worth it. He's worth everything. And there's a lot of things that don't make sense right now. And they will to a degree, but if you can learn to listen for him and lean into him, all those other things kind of start to fade away. And I know it's a simple word that he's worth it, but he is. And he is the best friend you could ever have, the greatest advocate, God our Father, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. I mean, there is nothing that he will be absent from if you will take the time to see him and to know him and to learn to hear his voice, I think is what I would say. And that, like, eventually you're going to be okay. You're not going to care as much about how you look and what people think about you and all those things. They get better. It gets easier. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's, I mean, I just, people are struggling. They are experiencing the very thing you talked about, crushing.
Yeah.
And, you know, until the olives are crushed, there's no oil.
Mm-hmm.
And until the grapes are crushed, there's no wine.
Right.
And the oil and the wine don't make the crushing easier. That's what you're saying. They make it worth it.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes. Good
and
word.
And there is no other way.
There's not another way, is there?
Unfortunately, no.
Well, there are ways of distraction, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's just endless routes that we can try to run away or run around or get under mm-hmm. it or get over it, but mm-hmm. we just got to go through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
good.
And he will be there, JD.
Because he is there, isn't he?
He is there.
Because that's yeah. his life too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's presence and power. Let's talk about presence and power.
Yeah.
And that whole, you know, you alluded to it earlier, mm-hmm. communion. It's yeah. just so easy for it to be kind of religious,
mm-hmm.
emotion,
mm-hmm.
and somewhere along the way, it became a movement for you. Talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So just follow me here, because this is might seem a little odd, but this is a safe place. I mentioned earlier that I had suffered with some illness in my childhood. It's kind of still followed me. Rare kind of genetic disorder that has had multiple phases. I got sick a couple of years ago, really sick, kind of out of nowhere, and ended up being in the hospital for close to 50 days and then was recovering. JD came to my house, served me communion.
We did.
And that was a moment. That was more than a moment. That was one of those things where the Lord was like, take note of this. So thank you for doing that, for coming to see me.
I remember it so well.
Mm-hmm. And in that time, I was having a really difficult time just drawing blood and kind of dealing with that. And so every evening they would come in at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m. to check. And it was this huge ordeal for me. And what it was really the Lord was inviting me to heal some deeper traumas around that from my childhood that I didn't even know. But all I could do was recite the 23rd Psalm. So I would lay there. They would come in. They would say, we're going to do it. This is a very like simple thing to draw blood. It's not an intense thing. But for whatever reason, it just sent me into a complete spiral. And so I would just recite that psalm as they would do it. And I did that for weeks. And then I came out of that, was recovering, was healing, and wrote a song with some friends around Psalm 23. It's called Psalm 23. It's one of our songs on our previous record. And it was this idea that I'd seen the Lord prepare a table for me there. And I thought, okay. And then the years went on, and I had another encounter at a New Room conference where I had some friends praying for me, and they said, you know, we kind of see this image of you going into your prayer closet, shutting the door, and you're on an operating table. Does an operating table mean anything to you? Well, yes, it means a lot to me. It's triggering from years of being in the medical system. And it doesn't, you know, it didn't honestly have a good feeling associated with it. It had a very scary feeling. But what I decided to do was do that. So I would go in my guest room, shut the door, lay in the dark on the floor, and ask the Lord to come. And I remember telling him, I was wrestling with this because I was like, this feels like such a waste of time. Like, what am I doing here? This is silly. And I heard him say, what do you do in an operating room? And I said, nothing. And he said, exactly, you let the physician do the work. So I laid still in the dark, and I did that for weeks, and still don't really know what's come from that. It was an act of faith. I know it seems odd.
No.
But it was a meeting place, you know, It was a meeting place between me and the Lord. And sometimes it would feel like I was herding cats. Like, I want to say this to people that are listening. Sometimes it would feel like nothing was happening. And then other moments, it was like the presence was just right there. And I know you know way more about this than I do, JD, but in spiritual practice, it's like we're all beginners. Right? We're all, every time you go before the Lord, you're going in faith. And so I had this like operating table moment. And then he began to speak to me. So it's table, he's prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. Now he's got this operating table moment. And now he says, I want to talk to you about my communion table. And I'm like, okay, tell me. And I started reading John Wesley's kind of theology around his belief around the sacraments. And I just couldn't get enough. I wanted to so deeply understand everything from intinction to like what is happening. There's purpose behind all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started writing some of Presence and Power and wanted a song to sing in a Wesleyan tradition that had this through line that clearly the Lord cares about tables, right? And I knew that it became a place of encounter for me. I still don't think I barely scratched the surface of what it actually is. And then I finished the song with some friends, and it was actually with my brother. We were finalizing kind of the last parts of the final verse, and he's the one who said "Bread of Presence, Cup of Power." And I think it should be that lyric. And then the song just kind of came. That was just it just came together. And so it's been something we've been singing in our church, teaching our church. It's teaching me. It's a gift that the Lord, that I think is for one reason, and the Lord's like, no, I'm doing this in you. So it's a communion song, but it's coming, full
it's
of the story
out of communion.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
it is. It is coming. It is coming out of coming into union. And
yeah.
Yes, there's so much there, Brenna. Isn't it the most joyful thing in the cosmos when a song comes together?
Oh. And every time you're just like, thank you, Lord. Like, thank you, Lord, you know? Yeah.
I was talking to Chris Tomlin the other day, and he was just saying, and he's like, man, I'm so thankful for the songs the Lord has given me. He said, I just couldn't believe he gave me Holy Forever. He said it was just so, it's a gift.
Yeah.
And when it comes together, it's like, this is for the church.
Yes. Yes. JD,
say again?
I want you to tell me about communion.
Okay.
I want to know, because
I got nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, you said things there earlier, that whole thing about going into the room and just laying on the floor, okay? So,
yeah.
I think in our faith, we want activity. We want to be able to do something. And we learn sooner or later that it's not about activity. The measure of faith is not about our doing things. We're not trying to do things to get God to do things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy for the pendulum. It'll start swinging over to passivity. And passivity is just like, well, I don't do anything. God does everything. And
yeah,
you realize that kind of leads to what is kind of history might call like quietism. And it's just, you know, nothing. You don't do, you're passive. And then you realize, like, well, I don't think it's passivity either. And it's not something in between those two things. It's not like holding those two things in tension.
Right.
I believe it's holding those two things in union. It's the activity, not of us, of Jesus. It's the activity of Jesus. Meeting, I don't know, maybe the passivity of our brokenness, and it's coming into this word that I would call not activity, not passivity, receptivity. Receptivity, right?
Yes.
That's
I'm taking notes.
That's what's broken in us is our receivers. And that's what he's healing in us.
Hey.
Receive. Can we receive? It's a gift. We can't, nothing we can do can make it happen. Just sitting there passively is not participating. And so we're leaning in. And that's what's so amazing about the Lord's Supper. Okay, if you sit out there in the pews and you don't go forward, you're just passive. You're getting nothing. But nothing you could do could make any of that happen. You're going with your hands open, and he is saying, my body given for you. You know, that's what he says in the Lord's Supper, take and eat. Right? He's giving us something, and it's not, this is the amazing thing. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's material. Yeah. It's food. The most basic substance of life. And he's saying, my relationship to you isn't like material. It's not spiritual over here and material over here. It's the union of the material and the spiritual, the seen and the unseen.
Wow.
And I want you to know me like you know food and drink. And to, and the crazy thing about food and drink is like, all you got to do is eat it and drink it. It does everything else.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's, it does every, he is the worker and the working. And we are the receivers, the recipients. And then he gets the glory when that blows up in us. And that's it is such a mystery, but it's also, I call it a concrete mystery.
I love that.
It's concrete. You're going to eat and drink something here.
Right.
And I love how in your song, you open the whole song by talking about this is more than remembering.
Yeah.
And by that, what I think you're getting at, I mean, there's all these views of communion and they're very super complicated and confusing, like memorialism, like just something that happened once and we're just going to kind of, we're going to salute it. We're going to remember it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're saying, no, it is that, but it's way more than that. Mm-hmm. And even when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, his word there is anamnesis. You know this. Mm-hmm. Anamnesis. And what it means, it's like you're going through the portal. You're going, the thing is happening again. Because it's like it never stopped happening. That bread and that cup, that bread of presence, as your brother said, and that cup of power, it is eternal now. And you're partaking of divine substance. And you're receiving it. And and so the remembering anamnesis is, it's like everything that happened in that room on that night is pulled right all the way forward through 2,000 years, almost like time travel in reverse. We're not going back, it's coming forward.
Come on. Yes.
Coming forward. And he's coming right into our little room and our little upper room and our little house. And
Right.
And he is standing there mysteriously in the person that's standing there with the bread and the cup. Mm-hmm. A person just like he was, God in disguise. And that's communion, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
And you can't even think about all that. And so all you can do is go up and try to receive more than you did last time.
Yeah.
And that's why Wesley took it every day. Every day.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny how sometimes churches are like, we don't want to do it too often because it's so special. That's kind of like, you know, I'm not going to really kiss my spouse because it's such a special thing. We're just going to do that like every now and then.
Like once a month. Yeah.
Once a month. I mean, communion, right? It's the kiss of God, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And it's amazing to me when, you know, sometimes I'll get to help and serve people.
Yes.
And when they come forward and you say the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, people just weep.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do.
Yes.
And it's like it's speaking to something deeper, like you said. It's like it's not even coming in just through my eyes. It's like spirit to spirit. There's
yeah, deep to deep.
Something, yes, there's something, a concrete mystery there, just like you said. And, you know, that, oof.
And then, so I keep taking this even further. It's like
yeah,
he essentially is saying these three words.
Yeah.
Me for you. He's like, you give me you, I give you me.
Yeah.
Right? This
yeah.
is the
yes.
this is the exchange.
Yes.
And
yes.
all of a sudden, you're more you than you ever were before because you're full of me.
Right.
And when he says, do this in remembrance of me, he is saying, yes, show up at this altar, at this table with these elements.
Mm.
But he's saying, this is your whole life. You are going into the world now, and everyone you encounter, you're saying, Jesus is saying, in and through yeah. you, me for you. I am for you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a song you sing? He is for you. He is for you. He is. I remember that's the 23rd Psalm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We just
yeah.
keep repeating it. He is for you. He is for mm-hmm. you. He is for
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, that's what he's
yes.
doing through us in the world. Me.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's all at once.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you're doing in the house of God, in the sanctuary, that
right.
becomes the thing you're doing in the streets. And that's what we pray in the liturgy. We pray, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that
mm-hmm.
we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And then,
fire.
It's a move. That's the move.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That's the move. And so, man. Mm. Where do we go from here, Brenna?
We need to take communion.
We do.
I know.
We
I didn't even think about
it.
We should have.
And we're having it.
We are. Yeah.
But, and people are feeling that with us here.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of a pivot here.
Yeah.
Why do we need to sing hymns? You know, every day, Brenna, I sing hymns.
I'm not a
singer. I'm a worshiper, and
yeah.
I'm just convinced that, and I know you believe this, we as human beings, it's mystical. We were made for music.
Yes.
We were actually made to sing. We weren't made to be singers. We were made to sing because mm-hmm. there's something about singing that activates
yeah.
the fullness of a human personhood. I mean, angels
yes.
sing. Animals don't sing.
Hmm.
We are between angelic beings and animals. We are human beings. We're divine image bearers. A little bit lower than the angels. We're a strange, unique being made
right.
for the capacity to hold God, to carry divine presence. Mm-hmm. And there's something about singing. I don't know. What is it?
Yeah.
And then hymns. Like, why hymns?
I mean, honestly, JD, you're the expert, but I will say what I've learned from you. That, like, okay, so I brought some hymnals, but this was my great-grandmother's hymnal.
The old Methodist hymnal.
Mm-hmm. 1968 is what is dated in here. And my mother gave this to me recently, which is just so special for me to have. But as I have begun, just barely begun, to read through hymns, kind of study it, especially in the last project that we made a collection of hymns. And we kind of had categories in it that the Lord just, we felt like was leading us. So we had some hymns that we really didn't touch at all, especially from a lyric standpoint. Maybe a little bit of melody change, a little something. And then we had kind of something we call hymn plus. So we would have a hymn and maybe write a refrain or something that would just give it a little bit of oomph. And then we had some original songs like Presence and Power that we felt like were hymn-like in nature, either from like a sonic standpoint, what you're hearing musically, but more importantly, the theology behind what we're singing was the goal. When I read these hymns, I mean, I'm not hearing any
that's
other.
That's our great Redeemer's praise right there.
Yeah. Shout
I
out.
I love that one.
This is a little plug. I do want the red one too, so I need to order it. When I read these, JD, I mean, I'm not reading any lyric anywhere that is carrying the message that hymns carry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be foolish to say, even as Bristol House, that we've somehow figured this out. We have not. We are trying to be stewards of our heritage, and we're trying to sing and write songs that carry the same weight, but it's transformational. I mean, we know it renews our mind. It solidifies, you know, the truth. It gives us language to sing things that we don't yet believe, which leads to transformation, which leads to, you know, like I said, the renewing of the mind. It gives you something to anchor to. It matters what we say. It matters what we sing. It matters how we sing it. It's like all of these things are important, and it has changed me as a worshiper, not even as a worship leader. As a worshiper, it's changed me. And yeah, I don't even know. I feel like I don't even know how amazing this is, you know?
Well, it's capturing. So tell me. It's capturing, you know, there's our lifetime, and then there's 2 millennia of the church.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was doing a podcast years ago with Tom Wright, you know, N.T. Wright. And we were talking about worship, and I was just asking him about, like, the balance of songs.
Right.
He said, because, you know, it's very easy to go in church now and you're really going to sing a band of songs. They're good songs, but they're coming from about 20 years out of 2,000 years. And he said, it was quite challenging. He said, you know, you should not sing more than one song from one century in a given worship service.
I got work to do.
I'm like, that's pretty challenging right there.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm, you know, I'm still challenged by that. That conversation happened probably 20 years ago, and I'm still challenged by it.
Sure.
And I get the point he was trying to make, that we're not just us here. We're not just people living, you know, between 1967 and 2026.
Right.
We're the communion of saints.
Yes.
And they are worshiping God.
Right, right.
And I often ask this question about a worship service. Like, if St. Francis showed up here today, would he recognize anything we're doing? Would he feel at home here?
Right.
Or say John Wesley, would he, or Julian of Norwich, would she feel at home here? Would anything kind of signal to her, like, because you know how it is when you're in a gathering and somebody and a song comes up that you know.
Right.
You feel like you're part of it. You belong.
Yes.
Oh, I know that song. That's our song.
Right.
And anyway, that's.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so good. We had one experience like that on the record, JD. We did a version of All Creatures of Our God and King.
Yes.
You
I
know,
love that one.
St. Francis of Assisi. And then
yes.
the melody was put to it in 1700s. And then we have this version that's from 2025.
Is it Mia who sings that one?
Mm-hmm.
She is so...
She's very special.
She's bright. She has brilliance.
Oh, JD. And she is an incredible songwriter.
Wow.
And she doesn't really know it yet. And that's the best part. But we had one of our spiritual directors was there during the recording. And so she had taken notes and gone and kind of written through all of the hymn history. So she brought to us in our kind of pre-capture time, like, hey, these are the songs we're singing and they're from this time. And she just wanted to read and acknowledge the names of the people that wrote them and brought them and carried them throughout the centuries. And that was such a profound moment for us. And it felt, to your point, not that we had created something really cool, but we were a part of something that was way beyond us.
Yeah.
Way beyond us. And that we hope it would be our greatest honor that anything we made in 2025 and beyond 26, that it would mean something to someone.
Yeah.
You know, years, hundreds of years from now. Mm-hmm. But that was truly, I mean, to your point, just, I had not experienced anything like that until we started to really get in here and look at this. And it was like, I felt the Lord say, this is really important. Like, this isn't just a marketing strategy to give you kind of a cool angle of approach or like a visual roadmap or a creative one. This is about a story that I've written that is way beyond anything you could ever really comprehend. It's just humbling. So humbling.
Yeah. We're just stepping into a little bitty sliver of time.
Yeah. Tiny.
And it's great to see what you guys are doing. You know, people say, man, there's so many songs being written. I'm like, well, when the Lord is stirring, when awakening is churning, a sign of that are songs. Okay. Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the midst of the Great Awakening in England. Mm-hmm. And then in America. Wow. He wrote 6,000. Are y'all up to that yet?
No, but I did feel the Holy Spirit convict me and just say, like, I think he's challenging me to write. You know, because I believe it was Charles that wrote like 50 lines of lyric a day.
Right.
And I think about that, like, could I actually do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that invitation from the Lord, but I'm scary to admit that. But now I've done it on a podcast, so.
Well, your next record is going to be all communion songs. How about that?
Oh, let's go.
There's so much. And that's what he did. He wrote tons of hymns. Yeah. On communion.
Right.
And I feel like, Brenna, too, I'll just lay down the challenge. I feel like there is a new, it's a new type of hymn form that's emerging.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, I think we see it kind of a little bit like in the song, I don't know the name of it, but it's the Australian worship leader, in the darkness we were waiting without hope. What's that
King
one?
Of Kings.
King of Kings. Okay. That's
exactly.
It's an adjacent form. It's very much hymn-like, but it's also not metrical-like.
Yes.
And yet it's able to freight something that a chorus cyclical song can't really freight. And you need them both. But we need more of those kind of songs and those structure songs that's a piece of it, I think. That is a pointer toward it, and there are others like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do we need those?
Well, like you said, I mean, if you're gonna get in shape, you gotta do leg day. You got to do cardio. You got to do, lifts.
Right.
The muscle of the spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to put muscle in the soul. And that's what songs do. All at once they are expressing our faith while they're forming our faith. It's happening simultaneously. And well, Brenna, I do want to remember this. We talked about the communion of saints and those that have gone before us, and I just have this awareness that's growing in me of just how close they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now. And there's been a new entrant into the communion of saints in your family. We just marked the movement of, I don't want to call it the death. It is the death. The right. Transition. I don't like that word. It's the movement.
Yeah.
He moved into the communion of saints. Mm-hmm. And I just want to acknowledge he was such a great man, and he was such a great father and friend to so many.
Yes.
And he was so well celebrated.
Mm. Yeah.
But we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and
we did.
The Lord said, I got better.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Thank you. It's, it's still pretty fresh. My dad passed the day after Thanksgiving this past year. And it's obviously every child's, I think, kind of worst nightmare. Knowing that it's inevitable, but just never wanting to even face that reality.
Yeah.
And I'll just say two things about it. One, still very sad. Miss him all the time. Mm. I'm grateful that I miss him, because I had an amazing father and a beautiful relationship. And I'm so grateful that I had that is my story. But I'll say, when my siblings and I went to say goodbye with our mom, it was all pretty sudden. And so we were able to go and see his body. And my mom just took our hands and looked at us and said, this is why we believe. And we were able to pray and sing and cry and say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just seen the Lord. I've seen his goodness in this. And I've felt his nearness. And I recognize that I spent months, because my dad got sick, it was all very quick. But I spent months just anticipating with so much fear and anxiety, and what is this going to be? And the Lord can handle that, he could be with me in it. But I almost had just totally dismissed him from being a part of my father's movement. In a way, like, I didn't see that he was also going to be incredibly intentional and care in that time too, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so I've just encountered him in my worst fear. I can tell you that fear became a reality and Jesus was there.
Wow. That's
and good. It doesn't take the, like you said, the oil and the crushing. It's like the oil and the wine. You don't get it without the other. It doesn't negate the pain of it, but I see the Lord's hand in it. So, yeah. So yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like we need, we need songs that lift that up. Mm-hmm. We need songs that cause for people to long for fullness of his presence, for heaven, for new, for heaven, yes, then for new creation.
Yeah.
New heavens and a new earth. We need, you know, it's so many of the hymn structures, they'll go with that fourth verse and they'll complete the cycle and they'll go all the way to the throne of God, to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we could use some songs that all four verses are about that.
Yeah.
That are just sort of contemplating and exploring the divine mysteries of something we can't even comprehend. How high, how wide, how deep, how long. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Right? Yeah. We need to sing that.
Sounds like we need to write some songs, JD.
I know. Come on. I miss it. I love writing songs, and I feel like I'm 1,000 miles away from it right now.
All right. Well, we'll make that happen.
Well, Brenna, I just remember the first time that I, and we'll close here. I remember the first time I ever saw you. It was at one of our earlier New Room conferences, and you were one of the worship leaders, and I had never seen you or met you, but there you were. You probably were, I don't know, 28, 29 years old, just this exuberant, like, person, and you had these Adidas tennis shoes on up there, and you were just like, you were just moving. And, you know, sometimes worship leaders can be distracting.
Sure.
And they're moving. I'm like, oh, no, she's drawing us in. She's going somewhere in those tennis shoes.
And you better believe it. I'm trying.
Taking us with her. We're going to the throne of God. And I've never seen. I mean, I was like, is she going to start running? She's seeing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was causing for me to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that, Lord, I want to meet her. That's what we need more of in the church. Yeah. That kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Embodiedness is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Embodiedness. Yeah. You're still doing it.
Still doing it. Still wearing the tennis shoes.
You still got the tennis shoes. Well, I'm looking forward to being with you all on Good Friday this year.
So happy, so ready.
In the Woodlands.
Come on.
And we'll put the link to that. If anybody's in the area, we'd love you to join us on Good Friday night. Brenna's going to be leading worship. I'm going to be getting to preach. And it was, I don't know, 1998.
Wow.
When we first started that service out of the Harvest, that worship service, they were doing a cross raising and communion for many years there at the pavilion. And then we started that first time. It was Chris and Bob Swan, and we went and got Beth Moore. She came down and was the preacher. It was unbelievable.
Wow. That's amazing. Special.
So I'm looking forward to that.
We are too.
And Brenna, peace to you in the grieving, in the
thank you,
in the mourning. You're being comforted, but there's you're just going through it.
Yeah.
And we love you, and we appreciate Bristol House and what's going on there.
Thank you.
And we're gonna help people know how to get. They can go to Spotify. They can go to YouTube. It's all out there.
All there.
Just search for Bristol House. That song, if you want to hear that song she sang for us, it's called Presence and Power. And it's kind of the title track of the whole record. And it carries so much of the essence of it. And that record is filled with just majestic. It's got the Gloria Patri. It's got the doxology. Mm-hmm. It's got, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Come thou fount of every blessing, all creatures of our God and King. I should be on the marketing team, Brenna.
Hey, watch out. We're going to invite you.
It's good. I keep it on repeat.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, everybody, thanks for joining us for this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's been a rich one for me. Maybe my favorite now. And we'll see you on the field.